Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
January 30, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, the New Year's Eve here on O'Chelly.com. I am having technical difficulties of all sorts, and if you're listening to the live broadcast, you won't know it. How about that? So, here we go. The last call-in show of the year, and I did start a few minutes late, so we'll take it a couple minutes over time tonight, but I'm exhausted, so I am not going an extra hour, just forewarning you. But anyway, we do have time for you to call in. 319-527-5016, that is the number to call. 319-527-5016. And you can also reach out to me, Charles.O'Chelly, on Skype. Very, very happy to have B. Pete, my co-host, with me. And I may have to go through my list of aggravations for the week at some point here, especially if nobody calls in. I'll tell you that, B. Pete, I didn't tell him anything about this before air, but I was recently contacted by Glenn Viklund, B. Pete. Yeah, and I was really surprised, and he's on my aggravation list for the week. So,
not Glenn.
Yeah. See, I thought he contacted... Well, anyway, I'll get into it later. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. Please join us. Do something to get me out of my own head here. I'm totally exhausted, aggravated, tired, and thinking very seriously that, 2023, I just need to do my farewells and last shows and be done with this whole thing. That's what I'm thinking. But we'll get to Dallas. I'll go there. I'll do that. And at the end of the year, that'll be the end of it, I think. But I don't know. Let's see. Maybe things will intervene and convince me otherwise. And anyhow, it's just the way it is. All right. I'm rambling now. B. Pete, I'm going to shut up. How you doing? Are you going to give me a weather report or you going to tell me something else? We know it's Mercury retrograde. We know we've been freezing lately. How's your weather been the past couple days?
Well, yesterday it was still cold. Today it was like 20 degrees warmer. We're above normal today and for the next couple days. So, we're out of that winter. Oh, we got down, 19 at night there for a few nights. So we had our blast of winter, but we're back up. It's gonna roller coaster now until we get into January and February. And February we usually see our coldest stuff. So we're good for now. I mean, weather wise, I'm enjoying it. You could almost walk around in t-shirts today. It was warm enough. But other than that, we're busy at work. Took a few days off just to try to catch up some things around the house. With all the leaves are down now after our storm, so I can get all those up. So. Just piddling around the house past couple days and probably spend today and tomorrow doing yard work and enjoying Monday off, actually doing nothing for holiday.
This past Monday, you mean?
This coming Monday.
Coming Monday
for New Year's.
Oh. Well, you know, you could add Monday off for the fact that it was the day after Christmas, too. A lot of jobs did that.
We did that. But, see, the job site technically shut down for 2 weeks, starting the Thursday before Christmas.
Okay.
And then crank up after New Year's. But I still have to go in and do inspections because of the environmental permits.
Right.
So those things that trigger me having to go in and do an inspection, take samples if we've got stuff leaving the site. And so my holiday always gets screwed up at Christmas. I'll work a couple days, take a couple days off, work a couple days, and work it out that way. But we go back full steam next week on Tuesday to crank back up.
Right. Well, I've always pointed out to people that, there is just a set of jobs out there where, sure, you do expect to have your holidays off, and then there's the rest of us. And the rest of us usually got to work. Unless you got certain kind of government jobs and things like that, You're working, and a lot of the businesses I worked in, it doesn't matter if it's Christmas. As a matter of fact, Christmas is a good day for their business, right? Like when I was doing convenience stores and gas stations, definitely a good day for that. Emergency window repair, definitely a good time for that. The winter, right? Security, that never stops. Not for Christmas, right? I mean, unless you do security at a mall, the mall might close for Christmas, but then again, maybe not. Right? I mean, it changed over time. Anyways, no, I find that interesting for sure. And we've all had our different misadventures out there for different holidays and stuff. And man, I don't know. I'm just in such a mood at this point. We do have a caller already, so I guess we're gonna kick right into talking about other stuff. I guess we could cover some news.
I'll bet you it's is it Jimmy James?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just plunk down the line, put him on air. And anybody else who wants to join us, 319-527-5016. Or you can reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype, and I'll call you into the show if you send me a message asking to be called in. And tomorrow night we'll be doing the Uncle New Year's Revolution, which I believe will start around 11 p.m. Eastern and run till at least 3 a.m. But anyway, this is the business we have chosen for tonight, so... I'll just plunk down the caller there, and I'll let him tell you who he is, B. Pete. Caller, you're live.
Yeah, it's just me again.
It's just me again.
I knew it. I'm psychic.
I had to add some suspense. You know, it's just...
We got to get a drum roll.
Jimmy James needs a theme. We got to get, like, a theme song or a clip for him. That's
all
what we got to get.
All I want is that noise. Hey, Chuck, you know that noise in Patton? Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
that's all I would like.
Okay, I will see if I can track that down. Because you need entrance music at least, I think. So if that's what it is, that's what it is. Jimmy James. Well, what's on your mind, Jimmy James? I mean, are you going to talk to me about the Trump taxes? are you gonna talk to me about the JFK documents?
Trump tax.
Oh, yeah, well, today.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, today
yeah,
they...
I got a great observation on the tax records for Trump. They went through all this hassle. They went through court cases and appeals and fought, and they got them, and they found out the guy didn't violate the law. He followed the tax law. There's nothing there. There's no there. It was the biggest dud. They posted them, what, yesterday? Or was it today?
I think it was today.
Accessible online. Yeah, the biggest do-nothing dud.
Fine. They could do that for Trump. How come they can't do it for Lee Harvey Oswald, damn it? Where's his work record?
That is a good question. Very good question.
Well, due to the tax code, I love that his audit wasn't an audit. I love that... are you sure he followed the law? Because that stuff's a little confusing, those tax codes and laws and stuff. I don't know.
They haven't found anywhere he violated.
That's
they haven't.
Rich...
See, that's just
that's
it.
Why rich
supposed...
people...
No, I'm saying I don't know, B. Pete. I'm not saying that he did. I'm just saying I don't know yet, because that's a complex thing to look at.
Chuck. Out of every five audits, only one out of five is a so-called rich person. Know why? Because they can afford lawyers and CPAs.
I know
they
this.
They don't get audited.
But when it comes to the president, they're supposed to audit the president when he comes into office.
Yeah.
And they've done it. They stopped doing it, I think, with Obama. They quit the audit process.
Right.
So
and
they haven't audited him. Because the funny thing is, if they had audited Biden up till this point, they wouldn't find anything unless they, you know, if they audit his S corporation. Then they find out that somehow between the time he got out of office as vice president and coming into office, he suddenly grew by $13-14 million. So that's what they need to go look at, is pull an audit on his S corporation.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, we did find out that Trump paid plenty of taxes to foreign countries like China because he had lots of money over there, apparently.
Well, not only that, though, he paid $700-some-odd in taxes 1 year, but he had a lot of write-offs.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even show charitable deductions for donating his salary to charity. So, did he donate the salary to charity, or did he do it and just not write it off on his taxes? That's the next question that comes up. But other than that,
There's lots of questions.
There was one year where he paid something like $900,000 in taxes. So with every rich person, it varies.
Well,
and it varies whether they're making income or whether they're getting paid dividends or whether they're getting paid returns. So it depends on what kind of corporation it is. But for his personal income tax, one year he paid a lot. The next two or three years he didn't pay squat. That's the way it goes with everybody that's rich.
Well, I tell you this, just across the board, whether it's Trump or anybody else, if you can afford to buy the right people, you don't pay the taxes. It's that simple. You don't pay tax. I know this.
There's more ways to hide money if you're rich.
Yeah.
And not have to pay the tax because you can afford to do the things that offset your tax. Or you can afford to do the things that get you a tax credit, especially when you're in business. That's like during 2008, you know, when the economy went bad with the housing market blowing up and everything, you know, the recession that we went through then. Tax-wise, I lost my train of thought. Tax-wise, back then, you know, companies were actually getting tax credits to buy SUVs and pickup trucks. Okay. So they took a lot of those used cars off the market when they did that huge buyback where they paid to get the clunkers off the road. And what that did was it opened up for businesses to go and start buying brand new gas guzzling. This is when gas, what, hit $4 a gallon then. You know, you could get a tax credit for buying that big Suburban SUV. Your business could get a tax credit for buying a pickup truck or a van. So, you know, people don't realize that businesses were, even when in the worst of times, the government was incentivizing rich people and businesses to spend money.
Well, of course,
we're going to give you money to help you spend some money. And then you can write this money off.
Oh, yeah, because
so it takes money to make money. It also takes money to hide money.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, that's one way of looking at it. Of course, that's not how I look at it overall, but we can get to that in a minute. We've actually got, let's see, another caller. Let's see, who's up? Wait, there he is. All right. Yes, we do have another caller, so I'm going to bring him on, and yeah, I'll get to my view on this later. I mean, my view is probably going to be really... It's going to annoy everybody, but what else is new, right? Let's see. New caller, and we still owe Jimmy James his turn to bring up whatever he wants to bring up. So, anyway, you're on the air, brother. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Vance, are you Vance-tastic, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to have to hold off on that for a while.
All right, then. I just figured I'd check. How you doing, man? What's going on? We do need to get to Jimmy James' original thought, whatever he wants to throw on the table, because I knocked it off the rails by mentioning the Trump taxes. So I screwed up there, but so we got to let him get a shot at it.
James had no thought.
Oh, okay. So
James had no thought, but he's very happy to hear from Vance.
Excellent. Okay, so
hasn't heard from him in months.
Exactly. So we'll go to Vance. We got him at the tail end of one show. I think last week, but we haven't heard from you in a while, Vance. What's on your mind tonight? I'll just turn it to you then if Jimmy James doesn't have a thought, and then maybe I'll take a break and then piss everybody off with my view on this Trump tax thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have a specific thought, and I didn't know what y'all were talking about until I, you know, called in, and y'all were talking about taxes, but I did see that story, and, you know, it doesn't surprise me, and you know, we've heard all the justifications and, you know, ramifications and the, you know, the fallback is always, well, I'm not doing anything that's not legal, and it's like, okay, well, you know, that's part of the problem. The reason we're in the predicament we're in is because they let people get away with this stuff over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. Look, I would agree that no matter what, whether he's absolutely telling the truth where he says, look, I did what was legal, or if he's full of crap and he's actually abated the tax law, either way, it points out the problem. So, you know, it's win-win as far as I'm concerned, because if this is all above board and correct, and a guy like this can handle, you know, allegedly, I didn't look at his overall stuff to figure out exactly what his income was supposed to be, but a guy who's supposed to be a billionaire, if you can tell me that this guy will pay less taxes than the guy I know down the way that I had to help out that's cutting lawns, he's paying more taxes than Trump is. Yeah, something's wrong with the system. I just got to tell you.
Yeah.
So.
And they say, well, we can't, if they pay tax, you know, it's that the old Ronald Reagan tinkle down theory, you know, that, you know, if you tax them, well, then they won't create, you know, industry and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
But right, they're job creators.
They don't pay taxes. The industries don't pay taxes either. And so, you know, it's ridiculous. How easy people are just, you know.
Well, I rest my argument on Jeff Bezos still, that having leaked out publicly, that guy collected the child tax credit for his two kids, right?
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be set aside for anybody making under $150,000 or under $120,000, whatever it was. You know, and recently I had a discussion with somebody off air about, you know, somebody said to me, look, how much money do you actually make, right? And I said, you know, I'm almost embarrassed, but I'll tell you exactly how embarrassing and how pathetic it is. And first they guessed at how much I should be taking in. And I had to confess to them that it was about half of what their guess was. And then I started to explain expenses and just put up front the network's expenses, the internet expenses. I said, you know, before I get to feeding my family or anything else, here's what I lay out. And, yeah, half of what I take in goes to that. So, that's where I'm at. And he stopped me and he's, how do you do this? I said, I barely do. This is why I am still, you know, saying to people, yes, I will accept donations. If I didn't need them, I wouldn't take them. I really wouldn't. Especially because it causes me agita. And I'll tell you something, Glenn Viklund's going to wind up returning to this show in a couple of weeks. And I may take a two-week break in January, and he might come back right when I come back on the show because he's pissed off at me. And it's really funny because I thought when he contacted me and he said that he had felt terrible about the way the last show went and everything else and that he wanted to come on and straighten the record out or whatever. I'm paraphrasing. I said, look, if you want to come back on the show and argue with B. Pete again, because that's basically what he did, is he had an argument with B. Pete. B. Pete was pretty rude and nasty to him, and he was not very good in responding to him, and I thought it was a terrible listen. I thought the show went off the rails and was crap, honestly. And I said, if you want to come back on and argue with B. Pete, I'm not interested, because it was counterproductive and pointless. So I don't want to do that again. And he responded to me that, no, he's got a serious problem with me. He feels as though I set him up to come on and get, like, kind of ambushed on the show. And also he feels as though the problem between him and I started when he was making a $5 donation to the show a month. And he said to me in a message at one point when I said, well, why did you cancel that? He said to me in a message that he felt as though his charitable donations were better sent to Ukraine. To wit, I was a little mad because I said, well, you know, charitable donation. Okay, I'm a charity now. Fine, all right. And you do with your money with what you want, but I thought you were mad at me. That's maybe why you canceled, because that's usually the cancellation issue when somebody cancels a steady support payment. You know, membership, anything, right? And, yeah, that's where we ended up. And, so he thinks the problem started there and he's got a whole issue with me and I'm going to let him just voice his own thing on the show. And, apparently he's going to, you know, take issue with me for an hour. So I'm going to let him do it. But, I find it annoying because, I set him up to come on the show. I didn't set that up. I'm not in control of B. Pete. He came on to debate B. Pete. It went sideways and it sounded like crap to me. You know. So it didn't go well. Overall.
Yeah, it wasn't a productive.
It wasn't productive. It wasn't enlightening. It wasn't entertaining. So, you know what? I think it was total crap. And therefore, don't want to repeat it. But, you know what? Let him come on and yell at me for a little while. maybe I'll put that out as a podcast, because I'm sick and tired with people's complaints and misunderstanding my motivations and everything else. So let him come on, and I'm going to correct him. I'm going to leave it at that, because I am not putting up with this garbage no more. Everybody with their ideas about what they think my motives are, what's in my head, seem to have no clue about what it is that I think or what it, my intent is, or I'm setting him up. First of all, is Glenn Vikeland worth my time to set up? Was I not treating him with some level of respect as an economist, as a foreign voice, therefore having a different perspective? I think I was. I also treated him with respect despite the fact that we are at odds with regarding the Kennedy assassination. I think that I was not unfair to him in any way, shape, or form. Apparently he disagrees. So we're going to see how that goes. BP, now that you've heard all that, and I didn't give you any of this in advance, if you want to comment on it, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm sorry the show that with Glenn went as bad as it did, but, you know, if he listens to this, he'll know he wasn't ambushed. That was all me. That wasn't any setup or anything. I had been waiting to hear from him. He skipped out 1 week and then came back the next week.
Well, there was some issue,
you know,
that
I was
he
ready for a debate, yeah. But he wouldn't offer an apology for what he pulled in the room. That's what ticked me off. He acted like it never took place 2 weeks before. He acted like there was no issue there.
Right.
And I was ready to debate with him. I had all my info laid out. I was ready to go toe to toe with him about anything he wanted to discuss when it came to fuel distribution in Europe and taxes and things of that nature. But
right.
He couldn't even get past the point of acknowledging that what he pulled in the room was pretty damn slack,
well,
if you ask me. So
well, either
I mean,
way,
you know, I'll take full responsibility for that show crashing, but I had a good time.
Yeah, but what, you know what, though? To me, it's like I just moved on, and I figure nobody even remembers that show at this point because we've done plenty more since, and what's the difference? It's done and over with,
exactly.
but apparently, you know, he had a thought about it, so... The only thing I can't remember is he did say at one point that, I guess, I'm not sure which one of us called him a coward, but I thought that was you. Did I call him a coward?
That was me.
Okay.
No, I called him a coward.
I thought it was you. Okay.
I called him several things.
I know you called him many things. Right. But the thing is, he took issue with the word coward, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't usually refer to somebody as a coward unless... they are literally physically cowering in front of me. Like if I see them,
well, what,
cower. I don't. I mean, you.
It really bothered me. I mean, once we even tried to get into a discussion of something, Glenn had his say, and I listened to him. I heard him out and asked him, "Are you done?" Yes. And when I responded, he immediately jumped back in, trying to talk over the top of me. And I'll tell you, that just pissed me off even more.
Yeah, I know.
I thought, you know, I'm trying to be respectful of your position, but you can't even let me talk. And that's when I said, to hell with this. I'm going to let him know exactly what I think. And I let him hold it.
No,
and I still don't apologize for anything I said to him. But there's no reason for him to blame you for a setup. I mean, that he should have known what was coming from the 2 weeks before when he pulled that crap in the room and I couldn't really address it because we were on air.
I totally understand, but I'm just saying it was like, okay, I was surprised. I figured he wanted to pick up the argument with you, and I'm like, I'm not interested in it.
No, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want any more of that.
Yeah.
Because I'll be relentless with him.
Well, but the thing.
I'll let him have his say.
Yeah.
I'll do just like I did before. I'll respect him enough to let him have his say, and I'm asking, are you done now? All right, here's my response. Shut the hell up until I'm done.
I understand, but the whole flow, and I'm not blaming just you, by the way. I'm just saying the whole flow of it was not good, and I couldn't get a handle on it to steer it the right way. It was just bad.
You wouldn't shut the hell up.
So we went to a break, and I said, look, I think we need to bail out on this because this is not, I believe I said in the break, this isn't going right. None of this is working.
Right, and he bailed.
And he left.
I called him the coward. I called him coward the week before when he didn't show up.
Fair enough. But I said, you know what? That's fine. Whatever. Let's move on. And I did. So I wasn't even thinking about this. So, you know, I don't know.
He's been stewing on it for a while, I'm sure. And, you know, if he wants to come on here and discuss his local politics versus the world or the U.S., fine. You know, I don't mind debating him because I'm not going to walk into it at least not having some knowledge of the subject. But, you know, when it comes to him wanting to discuss gas prices in Europe and gas prices in the United States, I mean, like I said, that's apples and oranges. You know, we have the ability to do everything here in country. We can drill it, process it, sell it, put it on the market. We can't do that where he's at.
Well, and there's also
taking into consideration the added cost to that because you can't do it there.
Well, there's that.
But he just would not allow the information. He would not allow me to get the information out there to even debate it. I couldn't even get a response to his initial statement. So I don't, you know, good luck when he comes on. You can explain all that to him. I don't know that it's going to do any good.
Well, I don't think the issue he's got now. He's got a whole other issue. So I'm just going to let him speak it and find out and see how that goes when I try to respond to it. I don't know.
That's all you can do.
What else can I do? And if that goes badly, well, then you know what? It's just a bad, look, editorial control. It's a bad presentation. So I'm not going to, you know, continue to pursue it. But you know me, if somebody says, well, I want to come on and say something, I usually go, well, come on. I mean, I don't, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to have you on because you're going to argue with me. I don't do that. I don't, you know,
well,
look for it.
That's another thing, too, is when it's come up in conversation between us about that show and what went on, you've not said anything derogatory about him.
No.
I mean, I may have made a slight comment, but you have never been disrespectful of Glenn or his position.
No, I don't think so.
That I know of.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't recall it. And the only thing that I said.
If he's got a problem, it's his.
Yeah, well, the only thing.
If he's got a problem, it's his problem.
Right. The only thing bad I said, and look, I just laid actually some responsibility on every one of us there because between the way the conversation was flowing between you two, it wasn't working. And me as a host, I was not able to get a handle on it and control it. So it just was going badly. I mean, so I have responsibility there too. I'm open-minded to this and always willing to accept blame. Okay. So, but, not for things I didn't pull. And I definitely wasn't trying to set the guy up is the point. Anyways. So moving on from that though, it's very weird to me. That was one of my aggravations this week. Just want you to know while I'm trying to do stuff and I got cancellations and I had problems and, ay, ay, ay. I mean, I did finally get out a show yesterday, which has been put out on the podcast feed, but is not up on the website yet because I didn't get that far up to airtime, which I'm pretty satisfied with, where we had Larry Hancock and Larry Schnapp on, and Larry Schnapp is the co-counsel suing the Biden administration over the JFK documents. And yes, I've been hovering on this a bit lately because in my off time, even when I'm not wrestling with the, audio and everything else, guess what? I've been going through those files and trying to make determinations about what's what, and it's a mess. Anyway, there's still issues there, and so I had the lawyer on to talk about it with Larry Hancock, you know, riding shotguns, so I had somebody to provide proper context from a historian point of view. So it's not just my loud mouth explaining it. So I thought that was okay, right? I mean, you know, we did a good show on it, the media release and the way that the press covered it the week before. I'm not going to keep going on and on about this, but I think it's something of interest still. Anyways, yeah, but everything else either got canceled or messed up or whatever. I put out a chapter for the book this week. But other than that, I just haven't gotten a lot of work done because I've been bogged down in other nonsense. You know, so that's where we're at. And I may take a week or two off in January, just so everybody knows. I really think I need it. I'm tired. So I'm going to do that. I know I don't usually, but I think I'm going to. And I think everybody who I produce is going to have to take a week off, too. Because I just need to step away for a minute, which sucks, but it's got to get done. Knowing my luck, all kinds of breaking news and wonderful stuff will happen during that time I'd like to cover. But anyway... Oh, and by the way, Sean Penn can definitely go ahead and insert something in any one of his orifices he likes for a long period of time. So that's another guy, Sean Penn. Screw him.
What?
Well, Sean Penn came out and said anybody who has not been vaccinated needs to lose their job and not be allowed to leave their house and all this kind of stuff. And it went viral on social media. and all that wonderful stuff this week. And you know what? Screw him. And I almost had him on this show. That was the story I said.
I agree with you. Screw him.
You know, this guy's going to talk about how we need to be responsible about public health and worry about the spread of disease when he was married to Madonna. Shut the hell up. Anyway, okay, that's all I got to say there. Screw you and your Hollywood ass. I'm so tired of these people. You have no idea. And you know what? I had one of those guys on that was working with him, what was it, a year and a half ago or whatever, pre-coronavirus, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't even know. The guy was working with Sean Penn, and he was saying, oh, you know, I'm part of the core thing and whatever, and he was, you know, an interesting guy, journalist, whatever. And I almost had the opportunity to have him on. And you know what? Didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. Because it would be such an embarrassing thing to have this guy in my archive. And it's not just this comment, but he's a freaking nut job anyway. You know, I just... Why does anybody care what Sean Penn has to say? Why? You know, Spicoli's going to give us advice now. The guy who married Madonna, again, with the worried about diseases. You know what your wife was doing before, you know, she made it famous in New York City when she used to sleep at the feet of DJs and radio stations, you jackass? Tell me again, how many, did they have to invent any hepatitis for you? Shut the hell up. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm no longer in a good mood with these people, and I try to find it funny, but I'm tired of them. Anyways,
I have been trying to, based on what you mentioned, I've been trying to find a study that I heard about. It seems that the more of the jabs you've had, the greater your chance of catching what the jab is supposed to prevent.
Oh, yeah, but it's safe and effective, BP. So, you know, don't say anything like, I mean, you know, that's why they throw you the hell off of YouTube and threaten everything else. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, pay no attention to the reality. Go ahead, Vance.
That's the way they keep this, you know, going, you know, through all this public influencer stuff. And, you know, in reality, just like with the racism and, you know, sex, you know, in reality, it doesn't really, it's not happening in my neighborhood. It's not happening, you know, in most people's neighborhoods, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's only happening on the news, you know, to the level of what the threat is portrayed to be, you know, and I mean, it's obvious for anybody, and there's lots of people, you know, here, and I'm in a kind of, you know, a smaller, you know, closer knit, you know, community than a lot of people, I guess, at this point, but, you know, I heard younger people, you know, 30s, 40s, you know, talking just recently about, you know, the, you know, understanding that it's all, you know, there's no extra deaths, you know, to justify all this, you know, still concerned that we're under, and the next variant's coming, you know, nobody knows. Well, if I'm not mistaken, you know, my whole life, every year the flu came, and then it would have a variant, and that would be the next flu, and that's just the way it's always been, as far as I know. But
oh, yeah.
Now it's this big threat to humanity and society, and everybody has to, you know, give up.
Yeah,
you understand where I'm going with this.
And Vance, thousands died every year. Thousands died every year from flu and pneumonia. Every single year, many thousands of people. Every single year, it's just what happens. Go ahead. Sorry, Jimmy James. Go ahead.
Oh, I totally lost my train. Hey, I did remember what my original thought was, though.
Sure. Yeah, brother. Go ahead.
Well, good for them that they found the psycho that killed the four Idaho students.
I heard that earlier. They caught the white car in Pennsylvania, right, Jimmy James?
That's correct. But just to play devil's advocate, I mean, after this, what can I tell my black friend? He says, oh, that's nice. They only devoted slightly more time to this than what, the Second World War? And I said, well, yeah, you're right. And it did absolutely nothing in the catching of the killer. They just had the car, and it was a process of elimination. 1,400 guys. So all that time wasted on that story was really for nothing, I guess, is the moral of my story.
Well, forget about it. Look, if you want to talk about a big time waster, remember that guy, his last name was Laundry or whatever, and he went out with his girlfriend and probably killed her and then apparently killed himself, right? Talk about a time waster. Nobody gets punished for any crimes there, do they? Remember that story? What happened?
Vaguely. Wasn't that the Petrie girl or something?
That was the girl who went out. They used to film van life or something, right?
Yeah.
And,
well, I think that the other parents are suing the crap out of the other parents. Like, that's going to do anything.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yay, we got all the assets, which is worth $500.
Yeah, but you skin your friggin' knee, you can file a lawsuit. I mean, that's nothing. I'm talking about there's no criminal action here. Nobody actually pays for it. That kid wasn't arrested, even though, you know, he probably killed her or something happened there. I don't even remember the conclusion of it, except that they found him dead. And it was just, oh, story over.
Well, he supposedly left a note and said he killed the chick, which makes plenty of sense.
Okay. But, I mean, that thing was on every single day for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, much longer than this.
Oh,
it was. Yeah, I mean, I don't...
They were looking for that guy, I guess, mostly, right?
Yeah, well, they were looking for him. Remember, they were showing aerial shots of the piece of woods that he might have went into, and, you know, maybe they found his shirt the one day. I mean, it was just like this constant coverage of it, right? I totally don't remember her name. I mean, she's almost... I should remember her name, and I don't. I just remember that guy's name was Laundry. I just, you know, it's just, you get burnt out on this stuff, and it's just, it's crazy. Talk about the amount of time they devoted to something. For God's sake. That was, wow. It's almost on the level of the,
imagine
yeah.
All this time they devoted to this. And again, yeah, it's awful. It's a quadruple homicide. So imagine if the press gave all their attention to the JFK case for 1 month, what a big deal it would be.
If they understood the JFK case, it would help. You know what? Maybe I'll just go full on right wing nut conspiracy theorist here, and see what you guys think of this. Maybe it was because the town was named Moscow, and they wanted to make sure that they could keep repeating that on the news, since they want to demonize Russia. Right? So, Moscow, Moscow. Ooh. There you go. Russia, Russia, Russia. That's it. It's all about demonizing Russia. why not? Right? No? No takers? Okay.
Has anything new come out? Has anything been revealed from all this hoopla that's been, you know, generated from these new releases, quote unquote?
They found a new sentence.
Yeah, so far, I got to be honest with you, Vance, it's a whole lot of nothing. And
that's what I'm saying. So yeah. Let's just follow in that same, you know, here, let's just create a bunch of nonsensical, you know, not that there's any, not something valid about the point or the case, but,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just one distraction after another, and so nobody's really able to focus on the fact that, you know, this same system is just, you know, crippling, you know, us, you know, by minute, day by day.
But Vance, why bother with that? Tucker Carlson actually said that the CIA might have been involved in the assassination. So, you know, yay, even though Tucker has no clue what he's talking about. And I mean zero. I mean, I'm glad he had Larry Schnapp on his show and all. Same guy I had on last night, but, you know, yay. And Morley and all these other guys got some play on all the networks, all the, you know, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC. Everybody covered it. Talked to Morley or Schnapp or somebody. Nobody talked to Larry Hancock that I saw, though. But anyway.
What about Posner? No Posner? They usually got to bring out Posner.
Yeah, they didn't haul out Posner this time that I saw. Because you know why the job was well, you know why the job
suspended it.
The
I
job
know why? Because he's still in suspended animation. They gotta go restart him up.
I'm not going to argue with you, Jimmy James. You're right. It might take a little bit of time. And besides, I think the work was already done for him, though. because he doesn't have to come out and undermine anything because nothing has come out here. This is garbage, what they released, and their claims about it, and I already dissected that. So, you know, go back and listen to the archives, any listeners out there want to actually get that analysis. I'm thinking of going to a break, BP. Yeah?
Okay, before you go to the break, I just want to mention from last week's discussion with Jimmy James.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that he mentioned that was supposedly out front and saw Oswald? Thomas
Edward Beckham.
Beckham, yeah.
Beckham. Okay, he was the guy that was ordained on like two or three of these weird churches.
Yes. He's one of, he's not the only one. Now wait. He's not the only one.
Testimony.
No, okay, but BP, one thing, just want to clarify something. He's not the only guy involved in the case who was ordained in multiple weird churches, just so you know.
Oh, I know.
Yes,
but
okay,
good. But I was trying to remember the name. Copied the PDF of his transcript from, Garrison when he brought him in front of a grand jury.
Okay.
He never claimed to be in Dallas that day. Jimmy?
Not when he testified, no.
Does he go back and...
Everything that he said before 1970 was a lie. He was being coerced by Fred Lee Kissman. That's right.
By who?
So now look at the testimony he gave to Congress under the penalty of perjury. That's all I'm
saying. Just like in a grand jury? Under the penalty of perjury? Don't you do that same as in front of a grand
jury?
That's
right. He was compelled. That's right. He was compelled to give testimony. By the HSCA, he was compelled to give testimony. Either
yes.
He had to tell the truth or go to prison.
Right, but what BP's pointing out is that you could be subject to a charge of perjury for giving false testimony to a grand jury as well, which he did in the Garrison case. Just saying.
Well, I think that I'm curious as to, I don't remember his HS, well, never mind, I'm not going to get into this. I'm
Well, look, we do have another caller, and I do want to get to a quick break at least, before we move on. And, we're not gonna just, I don't want to go completely in the JFK weeds tonight, but,
I just wanted to bring that up, something cool. For Jimmy to mull on.
Well, as he said though.
I said that last week. I know that.
Yeah.
Everything the man said before 1970, I give you, is a lie.
Yeah. No, that is something that he did say. Just for the record, he did say that. And, that is the contention of many other people when you point out the contradictions. Just saying. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect is live. We're taking your calls. 319-527-5016. I know I got a caller on hold. I'm not sure who it is. But we'll get to them when we get back, and we'll get to you if you decide to call in. 319-527-5016. That's the number, or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. We'll be back in a little bit.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Hey, going nut, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this Nibiru stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market.
WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly.
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
And here we are back to the Friday Night Live open mic on Ocelli.com, the Ocelli Effect, and we have callers on the line already. We got Jimmy James and Vanarchy himself has called in. It's good to hear from him. But we also have another caller, BP, so should we go right to the new caller or what? Because we could have more of them coming
up.
On. All right.
Yeah, bring them on.
Let's do that. I know who this is, and this will be interesting. Somebody else we haven't heard from in a while. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight? Nice Friday.
Hello, Mrs. O.
Mrs. O has not joined us for a while, partially because she was busy as hell, and then she didn't have a phone. But we have a phone again, so... Or she does anyway. I don't. But here we go, hon. How you doing? What's on your mind? How are things in the other room?
Oh, they're good.
Okay, good. I'm glad because.
What's on my mind?
So,
why?
I'm sorry. Would you like to chime in with some original thought here during this wonderful discussion? I already vented my anger about Glenn, just so you know, if you didn't hear that part.
Oh, no. Yeah. On air you did that?
Yes, I did, because I'm pissed off. I'm sick of it. And I also yelled about Sean Penn for a minute. But,
Wow, that could...
I couldn't help it.
Kook. Let's see. What I'm interested in is that the four students that were murdered up there in Idaho... They finally caught somebody.
See, now Jimmy James brought that up and found it amazing all the time they devoted to it and all that. So what do you got to say about it? I don't know what to say at this point except that the media kept, you know, going around and saying nothing was happening. But I think just logically, and here I go, ready, I'm going to side with law enforcement. So everybody hold their breath. it's just stupid to give out your leads if you're worried about somebody getting, you know, wind of the fact that they might be suspected. If they think they're getting away with it, you might not want to release all that to the media right away in order to maybe catch somebody. So kind of a good move by the police to not do that, even though the media kept complaining about it and going, oh, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Just because you don't see it happening doesn't mean that it isn't. Okay, when it comes to this kind of stuff, and you expect law enforcement to do that, that would be their job. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, hon. You got something to say about it?
Well, looking at that picture, what was that that they were thinking maybe it was this type of person that did it? What was that called again? Somebody who's celibate.
Oh, an incel. Yeah, an incel.
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the picture, and I can't tell. Can any of you guys tell if maybe he's one of those dorky men that can't get any?
I don't know. Is that kind of racist? Wait a minute. Is that kind of racist to you? You're trying to judge somebody by their appearance as to whether they're one of these miserable people that can't get laid? Is that? Sorry, go ahead.
That's what I'm doing.
Are we talking about the guy that just got arrested?
Yeah, well, they were speculating for many days that this may be an incel.
He's got a master's in criminology. He doesn't, I mean, it kind of looks nerdly, but not, like, super nerdly. Not Revenge of the Nerd nerdly.
Right.
He's pretty nerdy.
Okay. Well, but nerdy doesn't necessarily mean the kind of guy who stews for years because he can't get laid and just, you know, goes into that, you know, I'm an incel and now I need to strike back against women. I mean, that's a lot of assumptions there based on something that I don't think we know enough about this guy yet. I mean, unless somebody's got some insights here that I didn't see.
Just for the mental health of these individuals who are so torn out of shape because they can't get laid, they should make hookers tax deductible.
Well, I say, why is it criminal in the first damn place? Just let it roll because...
No, it should be tax deductible. It's used as a medical treatment for depression over being an incel.
I don't object to that either.
Well, look,
go ahead.
The problem with prostitution is there's always someone above them making them do it. Oh,
not
and,
necessarily.
Jimmy James. No. I'm not going to let that go. I am not going to let that go, Jimmy James. That's not true. I know that is the general argument about it.
There are women making millions off of our fans and dating apps and escorting. They're making six figures and above.
Well, and there was always independent women that didn't require the trafficker or even the pimp, okay? There was always independence out there. I'm not saying that there isn't an element of that in prostitution, but... If you had it so that it was a licensed and regulated situation, go get yourself a prostitution license for a business. What the hell? I mean, you can't be, you know, you don't need a pimp then, right? You've got a business license.
Well,
a lot
of the countries over in Europe, you know, prostitution's legal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you see a 5-story apartment building full of hookers in Germany in most big towns, which brings up another point. We've just gone through... Wait a minute. We've just gone through the Christmas season.
Right.
And I have yet to find any reliable connection to the previous story of the roving ghost hookers in the Kinston area.
I have.
They didn't show up this year.
I have no.
I didn't mean to tell you, man. I went in deep undercover. All I could say is it's true. It's all true.
Okay. Well, look, before we get too deep into the hooker thing, just real fast, I'm just saying, look, Jimmy James, my mother didn't require a pimp, and she did that for a living for a while, okay? There is not always a trafficker. That is an argument that people want to make because, you know, the whole moral argument thing doesn't fly with a lot of other people. And I understand the moral argument. I get it. It makes sense. And if that is your sensibility, stick to them. But to me, it's one of those things where I don't think legislating and attempting to prosecute people for acts of morality is an issue so long as you've got consenting people involved. when you have a trafficker or you have somebody extorting or forcing somebody to do any labor of any kind, I think that's a problem. But that is not the case across the board. There are plenty of these independents, as BP pointed out. You know, you got girls on Craigslist right now, I'm telling you, that you can hire, probably in your area, that are not trafficked. They just happen to be local girls that got no jobs, or local women, excuse me, that have no jobs, and this is the way they're making their living. And you can order them up. Escort services.
And someone in that position might have, you know, a male person or some, you know, to go with them, you know, to, you know, stand outside the door or whatever, you know, to make sure they don't get robbed and all that, you know, which, you know,
right,
may or not be construed as a pimp, you know, so to speak. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's controlling the situation. Like, say, he's just a bodyguard, you know, basically at that point or whatever.
Well, I also know, and look, there's no denying that there are people that, you know, do have women captive or under their control one way or another. But there's also the situation, like Vance said, where you got somebody who actually, the woman will hire a guy. I'll give you a piece of what it is I make if you make sure I don't get hurt. So you come with me, you wait outside in the car, whatever it is. And, you know, if this guy gets $50 out of her $300, maybe he's happy, she's happy, everybody's happy. Okay? Just saying.
And it stimulates the economy.
It definitely moves money around.
To put out there, you know what, just recently, today, yesterday, whatever it was, you know, Andrew Tate, you know, got arrested in Romania or whatever.
Okay.
With that type of accusation. And,
what? Who did? Did you say William and Tate?
Andrew Tate, he said. I'm not clear as to who that is, but.
William and Kate, the British,
that would have been newsworthy.
That would definitely have been newsworthy. No, Andrew Tate, whoever that is. Yeah, go ahead.
He's a self-proclaimed and internet-acclaimed, whatever, you know, influencer guy that, you know, got Lamborghinis and he's like a life lesson coach where he has little, you know, shorts. He's fixing to fight one of the Paul brothers.
He was
a professional kickboxer at some point. And
okay.
Now he's like, he's been a hustler and he talks all this shit and, you know, he's something special and
fair enough.
He's accused of, you know, human trafficking and all that.
So. Well, okay, but that's another issue again. But back to it with the prostitution thing, and people go, oh, well, that's the internet. No, and not before the internet. I got all kinds of news for you. When I would travel around the country, all you had to do is crack open a phone book and look under escorts almost anywhere in the country, and they were there, number one. Number two, when I lived in New York City, there were TV commercials for them. They had this thing called Channel J, I'm not kidding, which always had constant softcore porn and advertisements for, you know, sex lines, escort services, massage parlors, all that. And it would run all night long in New York City on Manhattan cable. Okay? Not legal, but, you know, people kind of turn their heads. That's that. And believe me, that was in Giuliani's New York. Okay? Just so you know. And, you know, the guy was supposed to be cracking down on all that. Yeah, not necessarily. He cracked down on some people, not all of them. Anyway, sorry, Mrs. O, you got something to say?
Yet.
Well, it's pretty easy to tax.
Pay cash. They can't keep track of all that.
Well, but that's the other thing, is that most of these times now, you don't pay cash anymore. From what I understand, you can pay with your credit card. So, and I know even as far back as, say, 2000... it's no big deal, because in 2001, 2, 3, 4, and there, handled more than one bachelor party, to be honest with you, where I hired strippers, I hired them with a credit card, and the businesses that were offering the strippers always offered, well, do you just need strippers, or do you need after-show entertainment? And in that case, if you need after-show entertainment... What's that?
No wonder the FBI follows you around, Chuck.
Look, it would fall.
No. They've had Hunter Biden's laptop for what, 3 years now, and it's got plenty of hooker business and meth business on it, and they ain't done nothing, so they're not worried about Chuck.
Well, that's the thing.
Oh, that's a crazy right wing conspiracy.
Hey, listen,
we all know that it ain't.
Me or Hunter?
Okay.
Well, look, me or Hunter Biden or whoever ordering hookers is not really a big worry for the FBI. And they have the facility. They had the facilities to take credit cards, like I said, in the 2000s. And it's not like they just showed up then. They had been around for a while. I'll tell you something else. The Village Voice, newspaper in New York, very famous newspaper in Greenwich Village area, in New York especially, but it's spread all over the place. Basically, escort services advertised in the back of that. No problem. Matter of fact, traveling to other towns, weird places like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you know, where I would think, well, I'm not really in a serious city, right? You could crack open the local newspaper and find escort services in the back. I mean, they would just be there with the, you know, the public notices and everything else. This stuff has gone on for a long time already. It just, you know, it gets busted here and there. Massage parlors in New Jersey. Mrs. O, I told you about the one in Tom's River not too long ago when I was just talking to you about this. And I told you there was that one place that, you know, it was a regular massage therapy place, you know, that you could go and give your insurance during the day. And it just happened to stay open all night. And, right?
Massage at
3 a.m. Yeah. Well, you know, from what I understand, you could call there and ask if they were open. And you had to, you know, ask a couple of other questions, and you could get invited to show up there. Now, again, it would be sitting right there in the medical park with your dentist and everything else. So, you know, what the hell? A matter of fact, remember the Dunkin' Donuts on Route 9 on your way to Tom's River? That weird one that was always difficult to make a turn into? Okay, so the massage parlor right next to that, same kind of thing. No, yeah. I don't believe they had karaoke there, Vance.
I'm sorry, I thought I was muted.
No problem. But yeah, I don't think they had karaoke at that one. But Dunkin' Donuts right next door, and that place would stay open till at least 2 or 3 a.m. And I think sometimes 4, because they would want to catch you coming out of the bars, because the bars closed at 2 a.m. in Jersey. So a lot of people would look for places to go afterwards, and yeah, the Rub and Tug was open, just so you know. And meanwhile, it's not like I was an aficionado of this stuff. This is just common knowledge. So it's there probably in your hometown, no matter who you are, where you are in America. How about that? I remember looking at a couple of massage parlors in North Carolina, BP, and thinking to myself, I bet you those places are those places.
Hey, I mean, here you could even die, and they'll come eventually work their way around, and around Christmas time, they'll travel to you.
Apparently.
Yeah. So. You know, it's the world's oldest profession.
Fair enough. And
hey, maybe when Glenn's gone, you should ask him how they do it in his country. I'm sure he won't find that offensive.
You know, if I can get there with him, I'll ask him, because I'm not sure if Sweden actually has licensed ladies of the night or not. I think they do. Don't they?
Amsterdam does.
Well, Amsterdam has it.
Netherlands, and he's out of what, Sweden? Yeah, probably same rules.
I mean, I know that there was a literal red light district in Spain. When I went there, I was only there for a short time, but there was a literal red light district in Spain. That's where I failed my medical exam and got sent home from Europe. So,
well, in Zurich, they built special parking spaces with privacy fences around them for the girls that work on the corners. When their John picks them up, they can pull into one of these parking spaces and do their business.
Well, there you have it. Hey,
on the street.
Mrs. O, let me ask you this. Do the hookers from the corner store, because we used to have a corner store, I think it's not open anymore because there was a bunch of shootings there, but we had a corner store over here where a lot of hookers hung out. Did they used to go to the motel, or where did they go to do their business? Do you know?
Well, behind the...
Behind the store?
The store are a couple vacant houses.
Oh, okay. They would go to the vacant houses. I was never sure about that because they would just, you know, appear and disappear down there. And I kept thinking they might...
What.
Yeah, I kept thinking they might go to that Fleabag motel, but then again, I'm thinking to myself, why are you going to spend that extra money? These girls are not getting paid that much.
Some do. I mean, some of them rent rooms. And that's, you know, that's where they live, and that's how they pay their bills.
Well, if you rent a room for the day and you, you know, have yourself a handful of Johns, I'm sure it pays for more than the room. You know? I mean, just given must work out.
One would think.
I mean, I don't know. I don't do the math with them or anything. I'm just, by observation, I was just wondering where they went. But I didn't even think of those vacant houses that are right behind the store there. That's a good spot, actually. Throw yourself a mattress in there. You got a free joint to go to. That's true. Not bad. Okay.
And here's the master bedroom. What the hell?
Yeah, well.
you can't use the term master bedroom anymore. That's a microaggression.
Okay. I was wondering if that was racist. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Because the master bedroom might be the master's bedroom, right? Would that be it? Okay, now I'm just trying to keep up, BP. I mean, I'm not saying I understand all this.
You know,
I'm really just trying.
Well, it's just one of those on the list.
Mm. Fair enough.
God
so
forbid, we don't want to get deplatformed here.
Well, now, hey, look. The good news is that so far they haven't figured out a way to take away your own personal website. Although I did get a notice about a few things regarding streaming. And the two main audio streaming services do have new terms of service, so I got to read through them. I'm waiting to see what that is. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll turn around and disqualify me from having the little online radio station I have if they don't like the material I put out. That's a possibility. I know they're raising prices because who isn't?
Can you hold on a second, hon? Hold on.
Sure. Oh, hey, Frankie.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. There we go.
Happy New Year, Frankie.
Little man is up, I guess.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
See, ever since I let him say...
Well, he'll be a radio star someday, who knows.
Yeah, maybe he'll be better at it than his daddy. I would love to see that. And you know, he's probably wanting to now get on air because I let him say Merry Christmas when I was doing the Christmas DJ thing here. So we got a Merry Christmas from both of my sons actually during that show, which I can't post on Mixcloud anymore because they want to charge me money. All right. Anyway, shall I get back into my frustrations over broadcasting? Nobody wants to hear that, right? Anyhow, BP, what should we do now with the rest of our time? I mean, we got like 45 minutes left. We could take another break and, you know, move on for a little while. What do you think?
Yeah, we can do that. We can take a short break. Everybody run and refresh their beverages of choice.
You know what? I think, let me see here. No, I've got a drink, but I might need to hit the head or something. So maybe we'll do that. And hopefully you guys will call in, you listening out there, 319-527-5016. Join us, throw anything you want on the table. It is the last, we're not doing like the year's wrap-up or anything, but it is the last live call-in show, The Ocelli Effect, because tomorrow night we're going to do the Uncle New Year's Revolution, but this will be my last live call-in show for the year. And so you can jump in and throw in anything you want. 319-527-5016 or reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. I'll add you into the call, and I assure you, I'm not trying to set you up. Stick around. We'll be back.
Revelation through conversation.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver, the stock market, WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com.
Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ochelli.com.
So despite all the odd discussions about the Jaeger girls during the break here, which you people didn't get to hear, but everybody on the line did, and you could if you were called in. 319-527-5016. We got about, 35-plus minutes left to the show, but that's about it. And since we're nearing the end, as Jimmy James pointed out last week, that usually means Chris Graves might call in toward the end. But other than that, you listening out there, especially a new caller, love to hear from you on the last live Friday night open mic of the year. And you can discuss whatever you want. So, B. Pete, I've totally lost track of everything. I'm tired, so I'm just going to turn it over to you and remind people again that they can call in, 319-527-5016. I mean, we could discuss the origin of the Jaeger bomb or how we used to get test tube shots from chicks in bikinis, or we could talk about prostitution some more, or I don't know, man. Whatever you want. BP, it's up to you. Steer the ship, brother.
All right, we've got who? We've got Jimmy, we've got a van. Do we have anybody else on the phone?
Oh, Vance, Mrs. O, and Jimmy.
Oh, Mrs. O, okay, and Jimmy. That's what I thought. All right. Vance, what has been happening your way? I haven't heard much from you lately. Update us on your latest arguments, battles, tribulations, or favorite drink.
Well, that's a broad spectrum of subjects, but reason I haven't been called in lately is I'm going through some medical issues and all that, but I'm dealing with that, and it's getting better, but still not over, but, you know, it's a day-by-day thing, and we're not here to talk about that, but...
Is there something local that they drop on New Year's Eve? Now, I didn't realize this, but I've moved to a small town that has a shad festival every year, and this year they're doing the shad drop. They have a 12-foot bony shad. They're going to drop at midnight. Now, North Carolina is
like
known
for,
yeah, like a gizzard shad, like a a nanny shad.
Okay.
That's a fish. Now, North Carolina is known for the ridiculous items that people drop on New Year's Eve. They've even had PETA get involved with the possum drop and things like that. Is there any special drops that they have around your area?
I mean, San Antonio is 20 miles from here, but here in Castroville, nothing really. It's an old German community, but no, it's nothing special like that.
Isn't there a pretty famous German restaurant there? I mean, one that's known, like, yeah. When I was in San Antonio, we went to some German restaurant. It was supposed to be authentic food, and it was dead on, and it wasn't far outside of San Antonio. I don't know. It may have been a 30-minute drive, for all I know.
Okay, well, it's... I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like there's a kind of a chain of them now, and it's New Braunfels.
Oh, really?
And other places, they have them. But the name's not coming to me right now. But
I love German food. And we went
Hofbräu, Idlewild.
Yeah, something Hofbräu.
Something like.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah,
excellent
they
food.
Have, like the guys come out and dance with the little in the costumes, and they do all that stuff. Chicken dancing.
Hey, to the people in the chat room. To the people in the chat room, I just want to let you know that for some reason my keyboard has just decided to crap out, so I attempted to type and interact with you over there while B-Pete's taking over the mic, and I can't. So sorry about that. Hello, Christy. Hello, everybody in the chat. Sorry. Go ahead. You're talking German food, though. This is interesting. And I wouldn't think of it in San Antonio. The only time I was there, I don't think I saw anything resembling a German restaurant. But
there's a couple communities scattered down through there, even down around the Austin area, where a lot of Germans have settled, and it's amazing.
Yeah, New Braunfels,
the number of little communities.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Germans and Russians in Dallas.
Well, name a Russian food that you want to eat.
Borscht.
Wow.
Jimmy James. Jimmy James, have they got any special things that they drop on New Year's up your way? Like a hoop of cheese or something?
Not so much officially. Where I used to live, people used to take a dump out of the window sometimes in New Year's. That was mighty festive.
What?
I'm not even gonna.
Was that in the Middle Ages or something? In the Middle Ages? Were you living in the Middle Ages?
That was when the bone and rag man was still coming around.
Now, I admit I lived in a neighborhood in New York where people used to stick their asses out the windows, but they never used to take a dump out the window that I ever saw. Wow. That's a new one on me. Okay, cool. Beep, beep. I don't know what to say.
Well, neither do I. I mean, you gave it to Mike to me, and I turned it to Jimmy, and that's what we did. It dumped out the window.
Wow. Okay. Well, Mrs. O, maybe? any, dude,
I don't think I can top that.
Probably not, but you could. But will you? Is the question.
Have
you
mercy.
Want to ask me a question?
Go ahead, BP.
What did you say to me? I didn't hear it. Still puzzled.
I'm still picturing just people randomly sticking their asses out windows and crapping out of like apartment windows and building windows somewhere.
It's where they invented the first floor awning.
Out of necessity. Out of necessity. Wow. Okay.
See, through necessity. What is it? Necessity is the mother of invention or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The haunting salesman lived in the biggest house in town.
Do I dare ask Jimmy James a question about this? Jimmy James, was
so
this...
So you just moved in? You might want to call John down at John's canvas shop.
John's window buckets.
John's window buckets. Oh, man. That's just rough. I mean, you know, people wondering if that's graffiti or just somebody didn't hang their ass far enough out, you know, to get the job done. Aye, aye, aye.
I said that was a business opportunity at the time. It's like, you know, you develop a little bucket that clips on the window, and then, you know, you don't got to go clean it up in the morning, you know.
I bet window washers charged a premium.
And I'm thinking Jackson Pollock might have gotten his start there, you know, just inspiration. Wow. Anyway, yeah.
See what happens when you turn the mic over to me? Your guests are unpredictable.
It's true. Somebody please call in. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016 or Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Reach out to me. I can call you into the show.
Give us your story of what people drop out of windows in your neighborhood.
See? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, you invited him on the show, not me.
I invited everybody onto the show. What can I do? Talk about a setup, huh? All right. Anyway.
Have mercy.
But now we're going to go for dead air. Excellent. Yeah, dead air now. Okay, well.
Hey, I need a quick tutorial because I signed up on the chat thing the other night, and I was able to post a couple of posts, but then I couldn't post other posts, and I don't know how I was posting, so I got it open right now. I'm gonna push test, and now where do I touch it to make it post?
In the room.
Okay, now I just. Now there's like a little thing down in the bottom because I took the keyboard away, and if I push that, does it post? No, now it goes to the screen.
You have to hit enter or the return on your keyboard.
Okay, I'm going to try it again. Test. Return.
There you go.
Okay, there you go.
There
now there, all right.
There he
Thank
is.
You, Pete.
Excellent. He got the test in the chat room.
A couple of times it posted, and then I'm trying to post, and it goes to all these screens, and I'm pushing all the other buttons, and it's not doing anything. And okay, so I got it now. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks. That's it.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, Phase Shifter in the chat room, I wanted to let you know that I got a copy of Moby Dick today. And I hadn't had one before, so there you go. Appreciate that. Thank you so much, because I got a book mailed to me. All righty. Appreciate you, man. And what can I say about other things that have gone on? And for somebody who asked about the question about modern art, glad you caught it. I bet you nobody else did. But, yeah, that's what I was saying. So there you go. Most modern art, yeah, not very artistic to me. A lot of crap, to be kind.
Oh, and, I don't know. Hunter Biden's got some nice work. I hear it's going for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, I don't know. I'm not into the transgender thing. And let's be honest.
Is Hunter Biden's work?
Overpriced art. I mean, W did some of that, too. You know, just saying.
No, he gets his junk art away for free, at least. He never charges for it.
Okay, that's not what I heard. But I would definitely take a free piece of art from W, but I never heard that before. But I would definitely love to find out how you get a free piece of art from George W. Bush. Sign me up.
I could tell you, if you had a leg blown off in Iraq or Afghanistan, you get a picture.
Really? Okay, it doesn't seem like a fair exchange, but okay, I got you. Fair enough.
Come on, now. Really? It's painted by the president.
Yeah.
It's gotta be worth something.
Well, I can buy Donald Trump's signature for $20, so, you know, I'll just go get that. If I want a former president something. Or I could buy some of his NFTs, his superhero cards, for $99. You know, just saying.
I bet I could probably get a signature on a restraining order.
Mm.
Not cost me a dime. Except bail.
That would be cool.
I'd start a GoFundMe for that.
You know, I bet you could. If you know how to write those properly, you can always make money with them, by the way. I don't
go with the sympathetic aspect of it, you know.
Yeah, but I see people on there that I'm not feeling sympathetic for, and yet people give them money. You know, somebody just wants to go on vacation and people fund them. I don't understand. It's like, you know, and it's not because they have a miserable backstory or it's like a make-a-wish thing. They just, oh, well, I've never been on vacation. All right. And they get a couple grand to go on vacation somehow. I don't get it. What can I say? I mean, I get it when you got, you know, like somebody who suffered a tragedy, can you help us out? And they GoFundMe on the family and all that. I get that. But some of these people on there are just sort of like, I want to go to Disney World, and people just fund them. I'm told that it's all about just how you present it. If you present it the right way, it doesn't matter what the cause is. You know, obviously sympathetic causes that make the news get more traffic, but seems like as long as you write it in just a certain way and the language is just right, you can get people to throw money at anything.
Wish I knew the secret. Group too. I mean, look at Judith Baker. She got what? A couple eye operations out of it? A few more things? Rent?
Oh, yeah. She got surgery, rent, travel expenses. All kinds of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it depends on your audience.
I suppose.
Of course, she's like fishing in a barrel. I mean, these are people that have been clinging on to her for quite some time. Like, all she's got to do is mentioned that something happened and somebody's sending her something for free. So, I mean, she's turned it into a way of life. I mean, she makes a living off of it. I'm just wondering if she claims taxes on all that. Is she here?
Yeah, I'd like to see Judith's. I'd like to see Judith's tax returns. That would be fun. Because I'd love to know.
Really?
I'd love to know what she raked in for, you know, for that time that she was claiming that she was barricading herself in a hotel room or whatever. Did you ever see that one? She needed money right away, emergency, to escape the people that were stalking her. So she was barricading herself inside of a hotel room.
They keep saying I owe them some kind of hotel bill. They won't leave me alone. I must pay them.
I wish it was that.
There's a mystery with her that I haven't found solved yet. And I'm just wondering who it was that finally died that allowed her to come out at the end of the 90s with her story. Because she always said she was waiting. I said she was waiting for somebody to kick off so she didn't get sued. I'm just wondering who that was that passed away that she was worried about suing her.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think she claimed it was Lady Bird. Because Lady Bird actually did sue the hell out of A&E when they tried to air that Judy Baker
faker story.
Oh, yeah.
Called it the kill Kennedy six or whatever.
Yeah, but see, the estate there went after the History Channel, whatever company owned the History Channel at that time, because of the last episode, the one where it's all about Johnson. Not about that love affair episode, so I don't think she would have been threatened by Lady Bird. She didn't actually say anything about Johnson there. Not yet.
Yeah, it was because that episode got all the grief that they, what was it, the last three they didn't air or something?
It's 7, 8, 9.
It just happened to be in the set of three that came out in 2003.
Yes,
it
that's
wasn't her specific episode.
Right, there was three of them there. One of them, and you know, very heavily focused on Jim Fetzer. One of them was all about Judy, and the last one was all about Johnson did it. The Johnson did it episode got Lady Bird's attorneys all over them, and then they pulled it from.
And he said, "Yeah, they said forget it. We're just all three. Just we won't do anything more."
Yeah, well, they just got rid of the last three.
The other two lost out.
Yeah, they got rid of the last three, this last set of three, and continued to sell the six. Now, you know what's curious about that is even though they said we're going to pull it from TV and everything else, you know, Newsmax was running them. Like last year, I tuned it on, like I turned on the middle of the night and I saw something JFK on Newsmax and I went, oh, let me go see what it is. And it was those episodes.
Yep.
And I was like, what the hell?
They ran all of them, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They ran the Baker one. They ran all those three is exactly what they ran.
Because I remember Judy was promoting it on her Facebook page.
Oh, she was? Well, they ran the supposedly banned episodes or whatever, but A&E just pulled it so that they weren't going to sell it as part of the DVD set or anything like that. There was a short run of them that they made with all the episodes. Quite frankly, if you go on eBay, there's people bootlegging them anyway if you want them, if you want the DVDs.
Oh, yeah, you see all of them.
Yeah, not a problem. I think they might even be up on YouTube still. But Newsmax ran them as part of, like, you know, their overnight TV programming the one night, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, but, all right, it's Newsmax.
Hey, speaking of those shows, Chuck, I got a question for you.
Sure.
That totally just jogged a memory of mine. Do you remember that part where there was that Vietnam veteran that claimed that he was asked to kill that commander?
Oh, yeah. What is it? Pitzer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened with that? Was that true or anything or what? What's the deal?
What is it? Dangerous, what was his name? Dangerous Dan Marvin, I think they called him, right? Was it Dan Marvin or something Marvin? They said, oh,
Miller's
yeah.
Friend.
Yeah, well, they approached both of them while they were in some sort of special training, and they, him and his buddy, they both asked him if they wanted to go kill somebody at Bethesda. And it was supposed to be to kill the guy Pitzer, who allegedly had a film of the autopsy and all this other stuff. Yeah. Whatever came of that, there's no evidence outside of his story, really. His word. As far as I'm concerned.
He had a printout of the classroom list. I mean, why didn't someone ask these other people?
Well, good question, but as far as I know, there's no follow-on information outside of his story. And he had a little moment of celebrity there among researchers and stuff, you know, interviewing him, asking him details and all that, and it just really went nowhere, especially because he claimed that he was approached, but he turned it down, right? And then he's watching a TV show later that tells him about the suspicious deaths, and he saw the name of... not only the guy he was asked if he would go kill, but the guy who was asked, right, on the TV show. I think that was the story. Either way, it's just one of those things.
No, because at the end he said, go find the other guy, so he thinks he's still alive, because he said, go find that guy. Now, maybe he said was talking to him about something totally different, but I know what they asked me, he said.
Well, I know that two names came up on that TV list, and I'm wanting to say that the name was on the list, but he thinks the guy's still alive. which was another weird little twist in that story. But really, when I had my YouTube channel, I broke down every one of those episodes bit by bit and was just going through the absolutely ridiculous pieces of information in there. Even though people look to the men who killed Kennedy still as one of those great things, that there was just a whole bunch of unsupportable stuff in there, you know, left and right. And I broke it down to go, okay, there's some usable things in here, but the majority of it has been destroyed, you know, one way or another, just by new facts, new information emerging. And also, you got to...
I just like the interviews. I mean, the interviews are... Like, that Mrs. Lincoln, I mean, that information's gold. No one pays attention to what the woman says.
Right.
She says, oh, everyone thinks what was said in that meeting. Only JFK and RFK. Wrong. I was right there. LBJ forced his way onto that ticket.
Right.
Pretty much what she got at.
Yeah, no, and her testimony and her information and a lot of the stuff that Evelyn Lincoln knew, highly, highly important, because she was privy to a whole bunch of stuff that that a lot of people think is mysterious that maybe is not so mysterious. But unfortunately, she was one of those undercover people, even though she was his personal secretary, and continued to handle things at the National Archives on behalf of Robert F. Kennedy. You know, so, you know, the whole thing with the deed of gift and all the stuff that came from, you know, the stuff we're even hearing about now regarding RFK's estate. She was responsible for handling that stuff. And even the material that disappeared when JFK's brain disappears from the inventory. Yeah, she's the one who's supposedly sitting at the National Archives with a special office handling that. So I could never figure out why the people that had a hold of her didn't get at a whole bunch of information. I mean, I was able to get a couple of things out of her estate after she died. But, I mean, I got a couple of the... she had a whole bunch of things in her personal collection from her time in the White House as well, including a whole bunch of cables, you know, the teletypes, a whole bunch of stuff that was sent to the president, to the office, that she just had personal possession of. I got a hold of a couple of those myself. All that stuff went up for auction and has now been scattered to the wind, you know, and it included stuff like invitations and, inauguration information and flyers, and she had mountains of things. But also she was present and privy and involved directly and a trusted, you know, confidant among the Kennedy brothers. So a whole lot of these, you know, mysterious questions, somebody probably could have answered with a proper interview of Evelyn Lincoln. And it's bizarre because even though a lot of people conducted them, I agree with you. They never really ask her the right questions, and nobody talks about it or covers it or even understands half of what it is she did say. So I agree with you, Jimmy James. Evelyn Lincoln is a missed opportunity for many a researcher, I think. Even though I'll now have contact from somebody that's going to argue with me that they interviewed her exhaustively and whatever. But telling you now, there's a whole lot of questions that I could think of to ask her nowadays, but she's gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. And the last few are going to die, and it's going to be the same way.
Where is JFK Jr. is the question in the chat room. Dead, Christy. He died in a plane crash. Anyway, so I don't know if you knew that. RFK Jr. is still alive.
He had lady problems.
Well, I don't know what kind of problems he had, but...
he had a crazy coked-up lady trying to fly a plane. Hard to do both.
Well, all right, if you say so. I don't know. I do not claim to be an expert on his death. I find the information very strange about it, but I don't claim to be an expert on it. I did study it a bit.
I am also not an expert on that, so don't listen to me on JFK Jr. I merely joke. I have no idea.
Nope. Hey, look, I just remember that happened on a weekend when I was visiting Jersey when I lived in Connecticut, and it was like just this really weird thing, and the TV kind of was taken over by it. for most of the day, and you know, and that kind of thing happened. That's all I really remember about it. It's funny. It seemed like every time I went to my grandmother's house at a, during a certain time period, weird stuff happened. Like I was there when the Bronco chase happened. You know, OJ. And I was there for yeah. And I rarely went to my grandmother's house, but it seemed like every time I did, it was either Christmas or some crazy event that would go on in the world that the news would go live onto something. So either the Bronco chase or JFK Jr.'s death or, yeah.
All of a sudden it turns into courage. The cowardly dog or some kind of weird supernatural thing just happens.
Yes. Yes. You know, it does remind me of Courage. I'm surprised you know that one. Courage the Cowardly Dog. I love that thing. That is the most insane animated show ever.
Yeah.
What is this?
What about Courage that animation? They caught that. Courage the Cowardly Dog. I highly recommend it. Good series.
Yeah, it's probably out there for free all over the place nowadays. Cartoon Network used to run it, and it's really bizarre. It's really entirely bizarre what's going on.
What would you call that artwork, Chuck? Something Nor? What was it? Like that picture of that farmer and the woman. They got a name for that.
American Gothic. American Gothic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, American Gothic. That's how I would describe that animation and it's, that style.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon. Yeah, it's like a cartoon version of American Gothic. I mean, even the old man, you know, he hates the dog. The old lady loves the dog. And the dog is like psychotic. Constantly having, I think it's all going on in Courage's head. I really do. Anyway, there's many, there's a whole channel devoted to, cartoon conspiracy theories, by the way. And, Courage the Cowardly Dog has many videos on there. Anyways, that's a weird sub-reference. God knows. Anyways. So we did.
Have you ever seen Garfield minus Garfield?
No, but I've heard about it. They kind of killed him, didn't they?
I don't know. I just remember it. That is pretty funny. Huh.
Well, there's this bizarre, like, Dark World Garfield that they put out with no explanation at one point where, like, you know, terrible, horrible things are happening throughout the comic strip, and it's a book. It's like the twisted world of Garfield. I mean, some bizarre thing. You know, it's not the the cute, wholesome, I hate Mondays, you know. Let me get some lasagna.
Well, the one I see, they just took, what's that, John, what's his name? They're like, they just take Garfield out of it so it's what it really is, a guy hearing voices from a cat and a dog. And they just take away the animals, and of course he looks as loony as he really is. It's
yeah. And then I think some murder and mayhem ensues in the book somewhere, just randomly too. It's very weird. It's very, I don't know if they even sell it anymore. Really strange. Anyways, so I'll tell you what. I'll give you my conclusion on the Trump taxes, and then B. Pete will figure out a way to close this one out because, let's see, how long have we run here? We got about 15 minutes left, maybe, considering that we started a little late and all that. But my conclusion on the Trump taxes, which I figure nobody's going to like, is as follows. It doesn't matter at all because all we're going to see is the Rorschach test once again, and people that want to defend him are going to defend him or minimize whatever's there. People that want to go after him are just going to go after him, and people like myself who could give a crap because I'm not surprised at all that a rich guy didn't pay taxes, or should I say a privileged guy didn't pay taxes. Oh, shocker. You know, it's people that actually make a little bit of money that actually pay the taxes. And I don't care what these percentages they represent to you about, oh, the rich people actually pay. Get out of here with that. Truth is that if they're rich and they have, you know, decent people that work for them, they don't pay jack. That's all there is to it. They find a way not to pay for a damn thing. And that is what the richest people I've ever met generally do. I mean, I'm talking about guys who steal sugar packets from diners when they go in to order water and bread. okay? Multimillionaires, usually. And they don't pay for taxes, and they don't pay for parking tickets, and they don't pay... Please. They just don't. There are just people that live that way. And I contend that Trump is exactly one of those privileged people who would not have to pay and doesn't pay and doesn't get in trouble. And his company can commit a felony, as was charged in a court in New York, and doesn't matter, even though it's a family company. And he's not even special or rare in this way. So I say, who cares? And why is this a news story? And that's it. That's the end of it. I really have no further commentary. I could sit here probably and go, whoa, how is it that blah, 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 blah. And if you out there were earning, you know, something like, I don't know, a reasonable living, guaranteed you paid a lot more money into your taxes, and I don't have to even read his forms. Guaranteed you paid taxes that he didn't. And guaranteed you paid for things that he didn't. Because that's just the way it is. Some people are privileged to take loans, default on them, never really pay them back. Also, hire people, default on that, never pay them according to contract. This is just the world of a certain privileged class. And hooray, Trump's part of that class. You didn't know that already? Okay. Welcome to planet Earth. That's it. There's nothing to it. Anyway, there's my entire conclusion with no addendum, as far as I can tell. BP, how should we conclude this show today? We got probably about, 10 minutes to work with, but go ahead.
Well, we can start with people giving their final thoughts for the evening. We can start with Jimmy. He was the first one in. We can let him be the first one out. Jimmy?
Yes. Happy New Year's Eve. And, hear y'all tomorrow.
No, absolutely, because we'll be doing the Uncle New Year's Revolution tomorrow starting at about 11 p.m. Eastern, and we will wish each one of the time zones in the continental U.S. a Happy New Year before we close out that broadcast tomorrow night on a Saturday when I'm usually not broadcasting, but I'll be doing that for 4 hours with you guys taking calls, and it won't be me who's the main speaker because it's Uncle's show. So there you go. And Jimmy James, you're going to call in for that, right?
I plan on it.
Excellent. So you can save your Happy New Year's for that.
As long as the Lord don't strike me down in the meantime, that's my plan.
Well, look, either that or we go to DEFCON, whatever the hell, and we have a nuclear war. I mean, obviously we can't do it. Or if the internet gods really do conspire against me completely, Mercury in retrograde takes me out. That could happen. But if it doesn't, I'll be here tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern about to get that show rolling. So everybody is, of course, welcome to call in and participate in Uncle's New Year's Revolution. So, Jimmy James, that's all you got?
That's all I got. It was good to hear from Van Arky. I haven't heard from him since, summer.
Exactly.
So good to hear from him.
Exactly. So I'm going to put... Jimmy. I'll put Jimmy James on hold, and B. Pete, you can continue, but before you do, want to say to everybody in the chat room, thanks for showing up. Wish I could engage with you guys a little more, but I think, I'm not sure what's going on with my keyboard, what the hell, it is what it is, but glad to see you guys there, talking about whatever, and Christy, glad to see you, hopefully you'll call in tomorrow night, if you have time, on the overnight. And who knows, maybe I'll drink a lot of that Jack Daniels and go on the air with some other unadvisable rants of some kind. To quote Sean Penn, at Sean Penn, you dick. Anyway, go ahead. BP.
Well, we could hear from Van.
Hello, well, Van. I'll sound off. I'll sound off on my opinion, which it pretty much goes along with Chuck's, and I'm sure on the Trump tax situation is, I'm sure Trump, there's lots of jobs where you got to have financial disclosure and all that before the, my mom had a bankruptcy and she used to work in banks, and after she declared bankruptcy, she can't work in a bank anymore. Okay. and so, you know, I'm pretty sure I haven't studied this at all or anything, but, you know, most presidents just voluntarily, you know, disclose their tax returns. And I bet you Ronald Reagan just voluntarily disclosed his tax returns. And so, you know, I don't know why, if you're going to elect someone to be your ruler of your country, or, you know, however you want to phrase that, you know, the situation, that you know, if he's not willing to disclose that, you may not want him, you know, maybe he's not the best guy to have running your stuff, you know.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question, Vance, really quick about that. Another thing that is to be considered here is, just because Donald Trump filled out a tax form, or somebody working for him filled out a tax form, and the IRS accepted said tax form, and they put it back out as the thing that they represented, and it was given to Congress, it doesn't mean that anything regarding the truth is on any of that. So, it's just, you know, it's hearsay in my mind. Just because you file, I mean, let me ask you a personal question, not you, Vance, but everybody listening. Have you ever filed exactly every single penny you were supposed to on your tax returns? Really? You have? I'm surprised. Okay, Vance, sorry, but I mean, just because it's on a tax form doesn't mean it represents reality. I just want to point that out and see if you agree with that as well.
Yeah, and that's perfectly obvious. And okay. But that's what I say, that a lot of this stuff is just legal for them to do. But then Trump doesn't even want to just. And I'm not, you know, it, there's lots of people do the same thing. So it's not just something that Trump is, you know, alone, and, you know, in the practice of. But you know, obviously, you know, he's not as affluent as, you know, some people want to, as he wants to believe he is or portray he is. And you know, we have the you know, if he's our elected official and he's representing our corporation, which is the United States of America and our economy, and, you know, on and on and on, well, then don't we have the right to know what his, you know, it's just, I would think that'd be a good thing to know.
Yeah, maybe, but does it represent reality? I love the one tax return where he's got a business that took in precisely to the penny exactly the amount of money that it spent, which is funny because one of the people that was a spokesperson for, like, the committee that got these tax returns was like, well, that's a statistical impossibility.
Well,
you're
going to
spend...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is that they've turned this narrative into... not a narrative of whether it's something that should be known by, you know, everyone generally or whatever. And now Trump's trying to say, well, this is starting a new precedent where, you know, people don't have the right to know what it is that they ought to have to know. That's the way I'm, you know, seeing this narrative going, that's what they're trying to push, that, you know, we need to make a new law to combat that law. So, you know, we don't really want you people knowing exactly what our, you know,
well,
are real, you know.
And the beauty of all that is that at the end of the day, when they erect a whole bunch of laws that contradict each other and everything else, somebody's going to get paid to sort it out, and it's usually an attorney or a lawyer. So, you know what? Windfall for them. What can I say? Keep lawyers employed. And tax professionals, right? I mean, keep all them working. Why not? They're serving a purpose in society, right? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Sure.
Every parasite serves a purpose. I mean, they may be a parasite, but they do serve a purpose.
Yeah, but I like leeches. I don't like lawyers. Okay, anyways, Vance, anything else?
No, good to see y'all, talk to y'all, and Happy New Year, and hopefully I'll call in tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, and I hope that your health situation continues to go in the right direction, because you indicated that that's where it's going, so I hope that it does. And thanks for calling, man.
Thank you. Yep.
Oh, all right. I kind of cut him off right there. Sorry, Vance. We'll leave you there, though, and let BP finish out, I guess, with Mrs. O, because nobody else called in, right?
Yeah, she's the last one on the list, Mrs. O.
The last woman, the last woman standing, Mrs. O.
Well, as I was coming outside for a minute, on the TV screen it flashed that Baba Walters died.
Oh,
Oral Walters died? Really?
Baba Wawa no more.
Yeah.
Man, you talk about a chunk of history there.
There you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it.
So well, anyway, my final word, I guess, for last call-in show was, well, I hope I'm going to call in tomorrow night, but for those who aren't going to be around, I wish you a safe and happy New Year. Thank you all so much for your support and your sticking around and through the ups and the downs and the ups. And I guess that's it. Be nice to your neighbors. Look out for one another.
Right, exactly. So, BP, I'm going to put Mrs. O on hold, and that'll be that for now. Let's see. Yep. There we go. I had to find her on the phone list. Sorry. But I put her on hold, so everybody's on hold, and that just leaves you and me. So I'll say this. I am exhausted, and I'm not going to give a final sentiment tonight, and I will give everybody my New Year's wish, blessing, and all that tomorrow night. So here's your chance, unless you're going to call in on the revolution. BP, I have a feeling you might not, but go ahead.
I'm gonna try. I should be free enough that I can starts at 11, right?
Yep, starts at 11 and should go to about a little after 3 a.m. our time. So.
All right. I should be done with everything that I need to do, but well before 11, and I will definitely try to listen in if nothing comes up. But I'd just like to say, you know, this last call-in show for the year, it's been a good year. In some ways, it's been a tough year in others. I'd like to thank everybody that listens in either on the later down the road as a podcast or those people that, listen to us live. I'd like to thank Jimmy and Van and Joe and Nature Boy and, Spent Kent and everybody that's helped add to this year. I've really enjoyed this and I'm looking forward to next year, you know, depending on what happens. We'll take it a day at a time, but everybody go out there, look out for your neighbors, support your local food banks. Things are still tight out there for a lot of people. Go to Ocelli.com and hit the donate button. Do what you can. Every little bit helps. It's expensive doing this, just in cost alone. And you really don't know till you get into it just what these costs are. And it's little things that keep coming up, and it's something that always needs to be renewed. So, you know, you guys step up and help support quality media. So, but other than that, I'd like to say, you know, to hell with 2022. Let's look forward to 2023. And I hope it's a better year for everybody. Guests, listeners, you, Chuck, the family. I hope everything picks up and we just have a better year out of it. And I'll leave it at that.
I'm with you all the way, and do appreciate you and everybody who has joined in. Now, we may have a few format changes in mind coming into the new year just to see what goes on, but we're going to keep the call-in show as best I can. If BP wants to keep doing it, we're going to keep doing it. We may change the format a touch. I have some ideas. I'm going to take a little rest and maybe have a little meeting, actually, with everybody who's going to be involved with the network going forward and try and get us all sort of facing in the right direction. Costs do go up, all that. So, of course, anything is helpful if you can contribute. But also, you could share the show. This is something that nobody's doing anymore, it seems like. Share the show with somebody. Promote it in your own way. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your Twitter. If you think something good has happened here, whether it's informative or just fun or whatever, that would be much appreciated as well. But sadly, I'm still in the business of saying, yeah, I could use the donations because everything else is down except the costs. They're going up. So it is what it is. But in the meantime, we're going to just let this one go. And I want you to remember that I'm merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night. Happy New Year.